What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, number 218, Essential Oils in the Athletic Training Room. We're speaking with Craig Lewin and Christy Messina. They are both users of the essential oils, and Craig sells essential oils for Young Living, and eSports Med, and he'll talk more about why he decided to do that and how that has affected his family, because he has a beautiful wife of 12 years and two children, and so that really played into how he made the decision to switch to essential oils and incorporate it as part of his everyday life. Christy is up over here in Dallas, Rockwall ISD, athletic trainer, and she uses it regularly for some personal stuff and then has also found some great benefit in the athletic training room with her athletes. So without much further ado, I'm your host, Jeremy Jackson. Sitting right beside me, I've got
Daniela.
Even.
All right. And the kids there. All right. This is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/essential oils. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/essential oils. That's where this episode will be posted. Without much further ado, Yvette, go ahead.
Craig, what is your athletic training story?
My athletic training story is, as a high school athlete, I was hurt a lot, sprained my ankles quite a bit, and we did not have an athletic trainer present. I went through high school in the late 80s, and it was unheard of to have an athletic trainer present at our high school, and we didn't even have one at our clinic in our hometown, in my hometown in Marshfield, Wisconsin. Knowing that I was injured quite a bit, I wanted to go into a healthcare profession and went to school undecided. I went to the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, which had a strong background in physical therapy, and which I also found out later, strong background in athletic training. During my freshman year, a friend on my floor, I found out that he was an athletic training major. And once he told me about athletic training, I knew that's what I wanted to major in. And I applied for the program and got in. And then after graduating in 1995, I've worked for a few years in the clinical setting where I worked in the physical therapy clinic during the day and did outreach to high schools in the afternoons and on the weekends. Later on, after about 5 years of doing that, I got bit by the teaching bug and decided to go back and get my master's in physical education teaching. And from that, then I was teaching, coaching, and athletic training. And so for about 19 years of the 21 years I've been a certified athletic trainer, I worked in the secondary school setting. And then just recently, in the last couple of years, I've become an essential oil distributor with my wife for Young Living Essential Oils. And that came about, our son was diagnosed in preschool with autism, and his occupational therapist had recommended some essential oils for him to help him with calming. And through that, we started using the essential oils at home. And then through using them at home, I started using some of the essential oils on my muscles when they got overworked, and found that they helped quite a bit for keeping me healthy and well. And so I definitely started seeing a chance where these could be an awesome tool for people that would, such as athletic trainers and other healthcare professionals that use manual therapy, that it could be another tool in their toolbox. And we decided to become distributors, and it allows me some free time to help my wife out. And with our son, he has different therapy appointments, and my daughter has different athletic activities after school, and it allows us to make things run a lot smoother, that I can be home and helping her out as well.
All right. So Christy, same question. Tell us your athletic training story.
I actually was originally going to be a physical therapist. So I tore my ACL my junior year of high school. We did not have athletic trainers in California where I was. My coach was an anatomy teacher, kind of guessed that I had a triad injury, and she was right. And so anyway, I got into it and got into physical therapy, and my therapist, she said, you know, you would make a really good athletic trainer because of your love for sports and, you know, medical. So I just applied to different places, looked up the degree, thought that would be a great stepping stone into physical therapy, and went to Olivet Nazarene University in near Chicago, Illinois. Fell in love with athletic training and decided that I wanted to just do that and not physical therapy. And it's kind of just sparked from there. And so I graduated from there in 2009 and got a position at a local hospital out here in Tyler, Texas, which is East Texas. And they contracted me out at a very small 3A school. So you got a California, Los Angeles girl working in a town of about 2,500 people, maybe, if that. And so my first year right out of school, and then 2 years later, I finished that and went to, I'm at Rockwell ISD as the head athletic trainer at Rockwell High School. Rockwell Heath High School, not Rockwell High School. Been doing that ever since. And so, as you stated earlier, do the AT talk on Twitter. That's really where my passion lies, in the advocacy. And then, I'm technically a Young Living distributor as well. Use it more personal, have found different uses for it in the training room. Overall, athletic training wise, is just something that is, like I was telling Greg earlier, just a piece of the puzzle. There's so many different pieces of the puzzle in medicine. And when we find something that's going to be universally great quality of care for our athletes, we might as well use it.
All right. That'll work. So, Sorry, we're having some issues. Go ahead.
Craig, can you give us a working definition of essential oils?
Yes. Essential oils are natural aromatic compounds and volatile liquids found in seeds, roots, barks, stems, leaves, flowers, and any other parts of the plants. When I talk about volatile, that means more of the evaporation of the liquid that gives off the smell. So when you think of essential oils, it is not like the fatty oils that you cook with. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but there's two different type of oils, the fatty oils and the essential oils. These valuable liquids that are obtained through distillation have complex makeup, and they have specific chemical compounds that can promote physical and emotional wellness.
Gotcha. All right. Christy, you have any other thoughts, ways to define, or maybe a more layman's term, I guess?
I just really look at it as, I guess I've always just said, it's like, think of back in the, like, just plant-based remedies, you can call them, I guess. I just, when the kids ask me what they are, I just say they're essential oils. They're just, and again, I use the word piece to the puzzle a lot of times, and the kids just get that. It's just another thing, because they like Flexol and they like all those other things that are just pieces to the puzzle, whether it's massage or something. So I just look at essential oils as a way to incorporate another aspect that may help them in the long run. That's how I explain it to kids, at least. I don't have as many conversations with adults about it as at least ever recently.
All right. So here we are. We've kind of got an understanding, a definition, plant-based products that kind of evaporate in things that can be used in the athletic training room. So instead of just talking about in general, let's talk some specifics, ways that you have used. We'll start with you, Christy. What are some of the ways that you've used essential oils in the athletic training room? And then Craig will ask you the same question later.
For me, I've used it a lot of times, especially in athletes. We deal with situations where you've got, you know, muscle, you know, soreness, things like that. Kids that, you know, might have just ran, I'm trying to think of a specific, you know, track, cross country, things like that. And I've used these essential oils to help, you know, relax the muscles, to help just, excuse me, help just support everything else that we're doing. So I may apply it to a quad or a hamstring muscle afterward, just like we would use Flexol. I mix it with coconut oil, give them some manual therapy, joint Mobs, things like that, and I'm using that as my medium. And so that's
okay,
the
so,
biggest.
So that on that right there, so like you would use Flexol. Tell me a little bit more detail about how you normally do that.
So what I would do is I'll take, for me, I'll take a mason jar, which is just a glass jar, and put some coconut oil, maybe a half cup, and I'll put a few drops of essential oils, different ones, peppermint, Valor, Panaway, different types of oils that help with relaxing the muscles. It's like that cooling effect that you get in Icy Hot, things like that. And so I'll mix that together, and it still is a pasty material. And then I take that just like I would Flexol on a muscle belly, like the hamstring, quads, calf, anything like that. And I will do different types of massages, effleurage, petrissage, things like that to help. I may also use it post acute injury as well, ankle sprains, things like that. I use it the same way to help get them to relax. And
all right. So you said you would mix the coconut oil with peppermint and Panaway and Valor. Mm-hmm. That's kind of thing is, it seems like, you just got to get to pick and choose, but how do you?
So each oil represents, and Craig, maybe you can help me with this a little bit, but there are certain, I guess, properties from the plants within those oils that can support your cartilage, support your joints, support different things. And Craig, specifically, I think it's more like what kind of plant you're getting them from. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. And so it all just depends on what the pain, or not pain, but I guess what the issue is that they're dealing with, and you can make those decisions. And so they support certain systems, whether it's, you know, the muscular system, the endocrine system, things like that. And you have to, that's where the research comes in. And that's where you have to just kind of know. And I know just from my personal side, you know, I didn't really tell you, but the personal side for me has been muscular and those type of things. And those things that helped, you know, relax my muscles or helped me with some cartilage support, joint function, things like that. And if I see those same types of things, then I'm able to kind of incorporate that in my practice every day. And it's a great asset. Again, I call it, you know, my homemade Icy Hot, but it's coconut oil and lots of other.
Okay, so then why use that instead of Icy Hot? Where, I mean, obviously I don't know the cost of what you're using, but I mean, it seems like it'd be a lot easier to just get Icy Hot or Flexol.
For me, personally, I use it from the perspective of the chemicals used that are used. And I haven't researched a lot on Flexol and Biofreeze, but I think there's a lot of things that are used to help preserve it and keep it. I don't keep those mason jars around very long because of the type of, you don't want to make it something too big and too long and have it hold over a period of time. And Craig, again, you can kind of butt in here, you know more, but for me, it's a chemical thing. There's nothing unnatural about the essential oils, nothing that's going to really potentially cause harm for them. I've had kids with sensitive skin that cannot handle, like their skin cannot handle certain things. And so this is kind of another way to do it. It's another, yeah. I don't know how many people are sensitive to coconut oil. Again, it's just another thing that we just try to throw in there to help them, with what they have going on.
Okay. So Craig, you can kind of jump in there. Tell me some of the things that you've used, or maybe you can respond to some of the statements that Christy made. And then we can just kind of go back and forth with specific ways to use them in the athletic training room. So Craig?
No, I initially started using them for soft tissue injuries, stuff that was going on with myself, just on my muscles. And I agree with using it for manual therapy is awesome. Using a lot of the same things that Christy was mentioning. Nice thing with essential oils is that you can kind of create your own mixture, but there are also pre-made blends and massage oils that are already made for you if you don't want to mix up your own mix. I also, in addition to using them on athletes or my family or myself, I do also like to diffuse essential oils to dispel odors and kind of purify the air, kind of help with our support our immune system, especially in small rooms. So I do that in my classroom at the high school. I also do it in my office, and I've noticed by diffusing essential oils, I've stayed a lot healthier. I haven't had to call in sick much over the last 2 years because of that. That's been pretty awesome. Another thing I like using them is for cleaning treatment tables, countertops, whirlpools, the floors, And I'm personally am an asthmatic, and growing up, I was allergic to a lot of things. And one thing I noticed once I started trading out some of the toxic cleaners like bleach and some of the other stuff that we traditionally use to clean in the athletic training room, I noticed that my sinuses started to open up a lot more. I could smell things better. I had less episodes of asthma attacks just by trading out some of those harmful chemicals that we're using to clean in the athletic training room and using plant-based products for that.
All right. So one thing I know that Bill and I were just discussing was the cleaners. Craig, you said you use these plant-based cleaners instead of the other ones. Here in a medical facility where we have students that are sweaty, possibly blood, that type of contamination, how does a plant oil stand up to using, you know, what we use as Whizzer or a bleach type cleaner?
I was going to say with that, I traditionally use the essential oil in addition, but what I've found, some natural around the house products such as vinegar and hydrogen peroxide do a great job of cleaning up blood and sweat and all that. So my go-to base is going to be hydrogen peroxide, and then I also add essential oils into that.
All right, so...
Well, and there's some, and I don't know, Jeremy, if you had time to look up some of that stuff, but there are actual studies, like scientific studies, about the effects of those cleaning plant-based essential oil mixtures and how much they are killing and how much they are effective in cleanliness. There is 27 documented hospitals that are actually using essential oils to not only to help with treatment, but from an aromatic therapy point of view. If you think about depression and those type of things, not depression, but just like lethargic things, think about smells. You go outside in the rain and you have smells, and there's studies that show rainy days or cloudy days increase people's depression and those type of things, but then it's sunny. I mean, it's all like aromatic type of things. My kids make the diffuser every day. I let them do it. I let them have fun with it. They get to put different concoctions together and smells. And I'm not even kidding. You think I'm joking, but teenagers, you know, we all work with teenagers during the day, and it's just a world of difference. Number one, the training room smells way better. And number two, it's just the whole atmosphere itself can change. So I think if you look at the science behind it, it's not just a plant based, how do plants kill these things? I think plants essentially, I mean, they're the root of all medicine in the end of it. If you look at the history of what plants did in the past, and I think like Craig said, you know, incorporating it with what you know to be not harmful but still useful, like vinegar and those type of things. I personally know that vinegar helps, and I hate the smell of vinegar. It makes me just want to gag. And so I think we have to look at the science behind it too. And if you look at some very science solid based chemistry behind what is these essential oils are, then you would see that they are effective in killing something just as much as some of the more chemically made cleaners. So, and I'll try to find some of those links for you and send them to you.
All right. Yeah. I have a bunch of different links that, that Craig sent me to kind of look at beforehand, but you said there's 27 hospitals using the plant-based cleaners. It would seem, you know, again, it's easy for me to just think that all of the essential oil stuff is just kind of make-believe, just like a broken ultrasound head, right? People believe it works. Even though I know for a fact that it's broken, I'm still going to use it because you believe it works. And and so I'm wondering why more hospitals wouldn't use this if it actually works and doesn't provide the harsh chemical smell, things that cause breathing problems at a hospital, but they're still using them. So do you have any more thoughts on that?
I have my own personal thoughts on that. I think it's really hard to change the mind frame of when we're set in our ways, and we have, you know, there's a big legal aspect with the FDA and things like that. And so I think that hospitals are waiting for, we're science-based practice, we're evidence-based practice. They're looking for just a little bit more. And I think you can get a study here and there and things like that. But I mean, think about how long it takes them to, you know, finally say, hey, this, we should have been doing this instead of this. It just takes, I think, more, number one, word of mouth. I believe in anecdotal evidence, crazy believe in it, but I think there needs to be a balance in evidence-based as well. So I think that these hospitals that are using, which all, I have a list of a lot of them here, and that they're pretty spread out, but a lot of them are East Coast, New York, Massachusetts, you know, up that way. And I think that each independent hospital is just trying to see what works for their patient. What may be working for you may not work for somebody else. And I think we have to remember, as we tell our kids, no ankle sprain is the same. No ACL tear is the same. You don't treat that kid the same exact way. You have to base it off of what that patient is experiencing and how they're recovering. So we have to find what works for our individual patients. And I think there's a retract to that. Everyone wants to, hey, why are only these many hospitals doing this? Well, other hospitals may not have found that to be useful for them yet. So that's my theory.
Okay, Craig, kind of same deal there. Any other thoughts or evidence?
Well, I guess I would have to agree with Christy that, you know, sometimes change takes a while. I know we've almost lived in Northwest Indiana now for about 10 years, but when our son was first born in 2009, there were signs when I went outside the hospital, there were signs on the door saying that this certain hospital was going to become a smoke-free campus on January 1st of that following year. And it just blew my mind that it was 2009 and that they weren't already a smoke-free campus. I just think sometimes, some places are slow to change.
Well, and there's a quote through the Cleveland Clinic too. They do like intensive or integrative therapy programs where they, you know, like UCLA is using it and a few others. And they just say that they, you know, they use a lot of them neat where they're undiluted. They use them mixed in with, you know, coconut oil, extra virgin olive oil. It all depends on, again, the situation. They put them in lounges and nurses stations. There was a study about 30% decline in nurses missing work due to sicknesses and illnesses or just tired or whatever it was when they started just having diffusers around those nurses stations. And so they have some quotes out there of the different things they use for the blend oils or the single oils. And so, again, I think we will slowly see, I hate to call it, but like a holistic wing of hospitals where they start using other things that modern medicine may not be able to help them at that time. So let's go over here and try this. And that it is easy, so easy to be like, you know, hey, this is just kind of a make-believe thing, like a broken ultrasound head. But I think we just have to remember that whether it is or isn't, if it's a care that is helping a patient, then we just need to adjust our mind frames to not be so absolute.
There are definitely a lot of healthcare facilities that are using them. They may not be coming out publicly about them, but I know when we first started using them, I started asking some of my nursing friends, and they're spread out throughout the nation, and they were confirming that they were using them in different practices of nursing, whether it was for patient care or like Christy had mentioned, that it was just used for the healthcare professionals themselves.
And I did it too, Jeremy. I did it in the And I got permission from this young lady, but I did it with a young lady that I stayed in that hospital with for a few days and stuff. And the nurses and the guy next door was like, can I just get that for the smell? You know, can I just not having that? Again, you got somebody that's in the hospital. She was in there for almost 4 weeks. You don't want that same, you know, hospital sterile smell all the time. And nurses coming in, we're going to have a break in here. And it just changes the atmosphere and the whole thing. So, again, it could be universally used in so many ways, I think.
All right, so both of you guys had mentioned a diffuser. Now, what I envision is a little bottle with some liquid in the bottom with sticking out. Is that about right?
No.
Oh, okay. That's my wife had something like that with like vanilla from like Bath and Body Works or something. So what is a diffuser?
It's it plugs into the wall. You put water in it and then you put your oils in it. Diffuses this, you know, kind of like a... What do you compare that to?
Is that a light that heats it up, or
there is a light? It doesn't get heated, I don't think.
It's more like a cool mist humidifier. It'd be similar to that.
Fire. That's what it looks like. So, and they have different settings on them. Like you can do it like 10 minutes on and so many minutes off, or you can do it like straight for 4 hours or whatever.
Would I be able to try bringing on my camera again? Because I do have a diffuser just to show what one looks like.
Sure, you can try it. But I mean, most people would be able to Google it, look it up. Again, the larger audience is the one that listens to this as the audio only version. So, Craig, you can turn on your camera. So, while you're doing that, I want to thank Matt Babasek logging in. Matt actually won the essential oil package during our 200th episode from Craig. He sent that out there. Jason Moore is logged in live. Melissa Long and then Tiffany, I believe it's Tiffany Kiza, is they're logged in live there. So, Craig, you got. You logged in. Josh, will you switch over to the other camera real quick? So, and then, all right, so Craig's got that. Christy, why don't you describe that while he shows it?
Okay, so this is the Dewdrop one. This is one I just got more recently, but this has a button. You can see it's around there. So he'll open up that first part, which is just like the dome, and then there's one more little piece in there, and on the inside, if he tilts it, there's a little red dot. And there's a line underneath that, and you fill the water basically up to that under that red line. And then you can, like I said, you can mix. I do about 2 drops of maybe lemon. If I want it for smell, like lemon purification. I'm trying to think of orange. I love Thieves. It has a cinnamon smell to it. And so I'm always diffusing things. You know, the teenagers joke that it smells like my grandmother's house or something like that. But overall, and then you put all that back on and you hit the button, and that one you can have as like a night light. So if it's a younger kid or whatever, and they want a little light and it diffuses like a mist, then you can hit the button again and it takes the light out, but it still diffuses. And so I will run that while I'm not home with my 2 dogs there with lavender and different smells and stuff. And when you have 2 dogs at home, it's easy to aroma, you know, you don't want that wet dog smell in the rain or anything like that. So we use it in the training room. I use a different one I have in the training room. I'm not in the training room right now. I'd show you. And that runs every 10 minutes or so. Like I'll do like 10 minutes on and so much off. And so I let them, you know, make little essential oil smells every day.
Okay. So we were discussing some of the ways that you guys have specifically used them. And one of the things that you said in the pre-conversation, and I'm pretty sure I saw you say it at some point on Facebook or whatever, was about peppermint and asthma, Christy?
It was not peppermint, it was RC. And it was more helping the lung function of, and Craig, RC says it stands for respiratory, and I can't remember the C. I don't know if you knew off the top of your head.
I think it's respiratory control.
Yeah, control. And so, and the mix in, I think eucalyptus is in RC, if I'm correct.
That's correct.
Yeah, so there's a eucalyptus, a bunch of really herbal. And so I've had actually parents drop off bottles of RC for their kids. And they go, my son's, you know, going to take this instead of his inhaler. And it just supports the lung function. I have had kids say, I don't want, you know, they turn to me. I don't want my inhaler. Can you give me the RC? And they'll rub it in their hands just like they, you know, and inhale it just like an inhaler. And so it just supports that lung function. And so that's something for me. I'm allergic to my dogs. And so, you know, again, just getting that air and getting the support in my respiratory system and that kind of thing. I've just seen great rewards from that, from using things like RC. Now essential oil peppermint is used in, I think, Craig, if you could agree with me here, to me, the 4 basics, you know, peppermint, lemon, thieves and lavender are going to really support you in so many ways. And so, yes, peppermint's probably, I think peppermint's inside of RC. RC is a blend. So that's a blend of many different types of single oils.
Yeah, I would agree that we use a lot of lavender, a lot of peppermint, as well as Thieve. Probably those three are the top 3 products that we order. And then also lemon as well.
And lemon you can put in, like I put it in my water just like you would. Yeah, so the ingredients are eucalyptus, myrtle, pine, lavender, black spruce, and peppermint. So there is peppermint in it. And just like my kids will say, oh, I forgot, you know, my Vicks at home. And I'll call their parents and just say, hey, I've got this respiratory control, you know, essential oil, helps support, you know, some of the respiratory system and their lung function. Do you mind if I give them some? They're like, yeah, go ahead. And they just rub it on their chest just like they would, you know, Vicks, or put it right under their nose, inhale it kind of thing. So that one I've used numerous times in athletic training as well. RC and then Deep Relief, which is also a blend, and it's on a roller ball, and that's used a lot for the muscle use. So, and I think Craig, well, he didn't have his camera kept freezing, but he had a little roller ball sample that he had. So.
Yeah, we at home we recycle a lot of our breathe again. We use the product also in addition to RC. There's another blend called Breathe Again, which also has different mixture of eucalyptus, peppermint. It has peppermint, copaiba,
myrtle.
Myrtle. So it's got Breathe Again has every possible form of eucalyptus, peppermint, and copaiba. So that's another one we like to use.
Stress Away is a blend too that Young Living is pretty well known for. And I know during football season, you know, I can be so, like you mentioned, I didn't send you my bio. I was wondering why it was up on my computer. I couldn't remember why. But like I sitting there, and those are the things during football season that happen all the time. And I can just helping support, just, you know, reducing the absent-mindedness and the what I like to call just brain just checkouts, you know, where I do certain things and I start to get overwhelmed and things like that. And you know, we all heard about reflexology. We know where the reflexes are. We know where, you know, why did kids always say, my grandma said to put my feet in Epsom salt and, you know, those type of things. Well, there's some truth to the fact that we have a lot of reflexes. We have a lot of trigger points, I guess you can call them. And so girls experiencing cramps, you do a massage on the part of their foot that's a trigger point for that area, whether you're using oil or not, it's the same effect. So applying some of these that help support those systems in those trigger points or in those reflexology points, you know, can really help support you in so many ways.
All right, so let's discuss a little bit more of the evidence rather than just the anecdotal evidence. Mm-hmm. So what kind of facts? Because, you know, obviously people want to know, is it scientific? Is it something we can reproduce? So,
right.
Craig, you had some scientific evidence or,
yes. Two gentlemen that I like kind of following their Facebook pages and websites are Dr. Scott Johnson and Robert Tisserand. And especially on their Facebook pages, they will about every day, post different, research studies that show good ways to use essential oils. And a few that I picked out from off of Dr. Johnson's Facebook page, there was a research study that showed with tea tree oil, which is also scientific name is Melaleuca, but it's commonly referred to as tea tree oil. It showed that it did a great job of supporting the skin and tegumentary system, as well as there was another study as well showing with lavender. And we brought up lavender a lot. So it's not just good for the skin, but it's commonly also called the Swiss Army knife of essential oils. It's like kind of sometimes when in doubt, you can use lavender. It's used for so many things.
All right, Christy, you got any other? I know you said 27 that, hospitals.
Yeah, and there was a good list of, like I said, UCLA, Kaiser Permanente. Trying to think of the Cleveland Clinic uses it. They're pretty well known. Goshen in Indiana uses it. St. John's Medical Center. But there was a Vanderbilt study done. I think it was in 2014. They used it more with another brand, doTERRA. And that's a whole other thing with the brands, but that was the one I was telling you about with just the staff, like just seeing, you know, the before the use of essential oils, they found that, you know, staff that felt work-related stress, you know, this is one of those ones, work-related stress, 41%. And I'm just going off of like some of the stuff that I've just found recently. but you have staff feelings of being well-equipped to handle stress at work before the use of essential oils, about 13%. After the use of essential oils, 58%. And again, I haven't, this was an old study that I read probably almost a year ago, I want to say. And so I don't know the exact specifics off the top of my head, but just the level of optimal energy that increased up to 77% from what they saw before they started diffusing the oils at work. So just work environment stuff for me as athletic trainers and our athletes dealing with school all day. I know our junior high too, same thing. This was huge. This was one of the first studies I looked for, was just from an aromatherapy point of view, how can we positively impact our coworkers, our athletes? What are the studies behind it? And I've just seen from an energy level, from an optimism level, from a positive being overwhelmed, things like that, that we see teenagers get every day. Those are some of the studies. Vanderbilt hosted the study. And I know that University of Maryland's had a few as well, the medical center up there. And I don't know if Cleveland Clinic's actually come out with a study, but I think they were supposed to recently.
Okay, so what are some of the reasons we would not use them? So, I mean, we buy Flexol, we buy Icy Hot, buy Biofreeze. We use that on the student athletes without questioning or without calling parents and that kind of thing. Is there any reason with essential oils that we would need to get parent permission or anything like that?
I do it just, you do, like we talk about them having sensitive, you know, people having sensitive skin and maybe to the chemical based things, but these are pure therapeutic grade oils. These are strong, you know, these are strong oils. So there are what we call hot oils, such as thieves or oregano, that you need to dilute. And if you don't, you know, you don't know how to do it, or if the kids never had it on them, you just need them to cover your bases and make sure, hey, is it okay if I do this? I'll dilute it here. For me, thieves does not affect me at all. But for other people, like I said, it's a hot oil with I think there's clove or cinnamon or something in it. So you have to just make sure that you're in communication. I think with anything, I do it with medicine, with our kids, whether it's a prescription or non-prescription, the same thing. But I always just make sure parents are okay with, hey, do you mind? I do it with Kinesso tape. I mean, it's just no different. Are you okay with me doing this versus, you know, the typical, you know, Boo or whatever it is, or Flexol? I think those are just well known within the medical facility. So it's not a question. Oh yeah, you gave my child Bengay. But when it's unknown, I think, especially in the community I live in, I you just always cover your bases and let parents know, because they may want you to use, you know, the other brand or whatever it is. So most parents I've called said, yes, by all means, go ahead and try it. By all means, please do. So.
Yeah, I think that's a good, safe way when you're working with minors. But I guess I would also agree with Jeremy that if it's already a commercially made product, I may not get, if it's already a massage oil that's diluted and it's commercially bought, I'm still going to probably just use it without calling home. But if it's something I'm mixing up and preparing myself, diluting myself, then I definitely want to call, get parent permission.
In college, I don't think people think twice about it. But I mean, just different scenarios that kids have tried. I mean, how many kids do we get that come to us with something that they just, doctors can't, you know, figure out, or they're trying different things, or it's all brand new or whatever it is. And I always just tell the parents, are you willing to try this? And they're like, yeah. You know, I've had kids flown to Arizona to see the most natural holistic medicine doctor ever. And parents didn't, you know, don't realize that we're here as an advocate to try. We just got to be careful not to get so stuck in our like box of, this is the only thing we have. The box is so much bigger. If we could think outside of it a little bit more. So I think essential oil is one of those things that you just call and you make them aware, you educate them, and you're more than happy to help them in any way. But hey, can we try this today? And like I said, most parents, 98% of my parents are like, yes, please. If you think it might, let's try it. So.
All right. So Christy, you said these are therapeutic grade oils. I remember when I was back doing some rotations with a doctor, he was trying to kind of give me to encourage athletes to take these vitamins that were like medical grade vitamins rather than just the stuff you buy at the store. Mm-hmm. Craig, why don't you talk to me just a minute about the quality of the oils, maybe some of the different lesser qualities. What are some of the hazards of buying the less expensive or the more expensive or the higher quality? How do we know the difference?
Well, when we generally can tell by the smell, a therapeutic grade oil is gonna smell more like the plant itself. So like if you're using lavender, it'll smell like lavender. Some of the lower costing oils that you might find in the store, they're using synthetics, so man-made scents, to produce that lavender smell. So to cut costs, it's not all plant-based. They're mixing in some man-made smells to stretch their product. And then if an athlete uses that, you may not see the same therapeutic effect that you would with the oil. They're also going to be usually the ones that you buy off the shelf at the store are also going to be pre-diluted. So they're going to already be mixed with coconut oil, olive oil, avocado oil, some type of carrier oil. So they're going to be a weaker strength.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you said, you know, by the smell, but I mean, it all smells the same to me. If I open up cinnamon, it's going to smell like cinnamon. I mean,
and it is research based. So you look at all the different brands and those type of things, and you look at the farms in which they're harvested and things of that nature. And you do it's hard, but you do the research. But at the same time too, though, once you know what that smell is, when you've done the research and you know, and you experience other things, you'll be able to tell a difference. It's kind of like, I can't remember, it was a bad batch of something, but you just know that it's just not the right, something's not right about it. And for me, I think that for me, the telltale sign is when there's certain companies that'll tell you don't ingest them, don't take them internally, because those are the companies that most likely their oils are not therapeutic grade, and they don't know synthetically what's in there that might affect you. And so I know there are oils that you're not supposed to ingest, and there are some that are perfectly safe too. And so I think that's a telltale sign. If these are the natural, pure 100% therapeutic grade oils, then ingesting them properly is not going to affect you. But there are some companies that say do not ingest because they're not 100% therapeutic, and they don't know the effects that they would have on them.
That's a great point, Christy.
All right. I've got lavender growing in my front garden, right? You said it's kind of the cure-all or the Swiss Army knife. So what would stop me from taking that lavender, maybe putting it in a food processor and then putting it in some boiling water, or putting it in the bathtub with my crazy children?
Nothing would stop you from doing that.
Well, nothing would stop me, but effectiveness.
No, they won't be as strong. They distill pounds and pounds of lavender to put it in an essential oil bottle. So it would take quite a bit of lavender from your front yard to fill up an essential oil bottle. I mean, it'd be fine to do, and you'd get the smell, but it just wouldn't be the same strength that has already been distilled by an essential oil company.
Well, and I just think, yeah, I was going to say just the way that they distill it. And I mean, you look at why buying them off the shelf even is not even cost effective versus buying them wholesale, just because of what you're getting for that product. You're paying for what you're getting. And so something like rose, I mean, how many roses does it take to fill one of those rose bottles? A ton. And so it is all how it's made. Nothing is right. You're not going to get the same effectiveness of, I think that pureness that comes out of the distillation.
But then at the same time, my question is not everyone, but most of the time you guys were saying these need to be not distilled, diffused, diluted. Like you need to mix them, you know, two drops of this oil with this whole thing of coconut oil or with this olive oil or whatever. So if we're already diluting it, then
it's that pre-dilution. It's that pre-dilution. I think it decreases the effectiveness of it. It's just like when I said taking them internally. I get gel capsules and we'll put them in the gel capsules, but I don't make them 3 or 4 days ahead of time. I make, you know, one or two for that day or so, because again, you don't want to over-dilute something, under-dilute something for the effectiveness of what your goal is. So it's each to their own. So pre-diluting them, I think, just changes the effectiveness of whatever your goal is. So for me, at least, pre-diluting is not going to help it if you're not doing it the right way, if that makes sense. Is that what you were asking, Jeremy?
Well, no. I mean, I was just thinking, like I said, I have basil, oregano, lavender in my front yard. I have rosemary in my front yard. It would seem that if you guys are saying, okay, well, it takes all this lavender to make a bottle of essential oil lavender, but I only want a few drops of it anyways, well, I don't need a whole bottle, then I could just take that plant that's fresh, grind it up, and put it in the bathtub or whatever. I'm just, like, I'm really trying to understand the process of all of it, but, you know, that may not be exactly what we're talking about here, so.
No, I get what you're saying. I think it's all just depending on what you're using it for. Craig, can you kind of hit that a little bit?
I just think it would, if you wanted to do it yourself, it just would be very time intensive. I mean, I think, you know, it's fine if you want to crush up herbs from your yard and put them in. I mean, we grow peppermint in our backyard and we add that to our smoothies and that, but I know that, you know, which is fine, but if I wanted to get the same effect for a massage, the peppermint in my backyard, the oil, the amount of time it would take me to distill it myself, probably also cooking it on the stove. I don't have the equipment that essential oil companies do to retain the property. Basically, if I cooked it on my own stove, I probably would kill some of the properties, probably overcook it, and the properties that I would need for a therapeutic therapeutic effect would be probably destroyed by my cooking it on my stove at home.
Well, and then think about like something like vanilla, you know, vanilla extract that you use in cooking versus just getting some vanilla and putting it in. You know, it's just how you're wanting to use it.
All right. Tiffany wants to know what's the best way to go about buying them, Amazon, direct companies, reps, what companies are reputable to utilize. And before you guys answer that, I'm going to go ahead and say again, I don't get any money. I'm not benefiting from them being on here. Both Christy and Craig said that they are distributors for Young Life. So that's the company that they use. But there is no financial gain. So full disclosure. All right. Christy?
For me, this is probably my third year using them, I think, or second. For me, I did ask a lot of questions about all the different companies and how to buy them. And it was easy to just want to go to the health food store and buy them. And just after further research for the farms that they use, the company that Young Living itself, their own employees are on the farms. And so, you know, exactly how they're being distilled versus some other companies where that their farms might be in the environment that they're meant to grow in, but they don't know the distillation process because they don't have their own employees working on those farms. And so I think, the best way is to do your research, find the company, that is 100% therapeutic grade, knowing what is going on with their oils. You mentioned, you know, vitamin doctors with, you know, medical grade vitamins, know what's being put in those things, and then make your wisdom based choice from there. And I think that Young Living for me personally was the best choice. Number one, I think Young Living has, Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, over 120 options of oils between blends and singles and
actually even higher.
Yeah. And I think there's some other companies that only have about 50, and some of them are very close in, I know some people that use both two different brands or whatever, because one works, you know, one certain one works better than the other. I think you just really have to do your research and figure out what works for you. But for me, it was just a wise choice to go with Young Living. From my personal aspect, I went through 2 years of some intense things and decided to give those a try. And I've just seen probably an 80% increase in just my functionality, and the way that things were working when I had tried multiple, I had tried two different brands. So I think getting them from a health food store, you have to be very careful. You need to do your research, and then think about the price. When you're getting them from retail, you can get our brands, I think, from Amazon. I've seen them on there. Good things that, again, you're not paying the retail price. So I think that the best way, in my personal opinion, is to, you talked about Craig selling them. I am a distributor, but I don't generally go out of my way. It's not something I've made into a business, or at this moment in my life that I have an intention to make into a business, but I always let people know that, you know, they can buy it from me, become a wholesale distributor themselves, and get good quality for what they're paying for.
Yeah. One of the dangers of buying off of Amazon or eBay and such is sometimes some people will buy the essential oil, whether it's Young Living or another brand, and they will open it up and dilute it. So basically they create two bottles of an essential oil with one bottle, and they're reselling it. They know how to repackage it and they resell it. So there have been some testimonies of people that have bought off of Amazon or eBay that has happened to them. So for safety reasons, I would recommend buying through a distributor and from the company itself.
All right. Hopefully that answers your question, Tiffany. Again, both of them prefer through their own research, through their own decisions, young living for essential oils, but do your own research, be very cautious. And then in the show notes here, we'll have a way for you to contact both Christy and Craig, and you can discuss further with them, you know, jump on a Skype call, phone call, text, whatever it is. And if you have further questions or if you want more information from them about specifically using those. So in the show notes, I have plenty of links to articles that Craig's put in there, or Christy's put in there, or where we found about some of the research that's been done. I was reading through some of them, and some of them were saying, you know, there was some really good findings in the investigational study, and further studies are needed to show validity and that kind of thing. So I don't know. I just...
Well, just think about it, Jeremy. Just look at the bigger picture. I mean, we see this all the time with kinesio tape, with, I mean, how many kids see something, oh, my grandma used this, or I saw this on the Olympic athlete. And so it's a constant circle of not knowing if this really works versus, you know, kind of taking a leap of faith. I think you just... We see it all the time in our profession. You know that. I mean, it's just there's always something new.
Yeah, I think my big thing is that there was somebody that kept recommending thieves oil. We'll mm-hmm. put that on there. Put that on the kids after they've been around other kids, or put that, you know, after they get home from school. But then that same person has missed work quite a few times due to being sick. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, you keep telling me to do this. You keep telling me to put this on there so my kids don't get sick, but I don't miss work from being sick, but you miss like weeks of work from being sick. So what is this saying for that? And, you know, obviously sickness doesn't have just one factor, but.
Well, and I think with any situation, you just look, that same thought process can be used for so many things. Well, I don't want to go there because of, you know, this person says this, but does this. And I think you're right. It's hard. It's hard to see. It's just like the kid who says the kinesio tape works on him, but then the other kid, same exact injury, same exact everything, and didn't do a thing for him. I think, but you're right. It is hard to validate it with that when you're getting that kind of thing. So, and what's worked on me may not work on Craig. And that's what I like what he said about, you can really get creative with these oils and find what concoction or what mixture works for you.
Yeah. And the other thing I would recommend is that if you do buy essential oils to use either with your family or with athletes, that you do buy a good reference guide. There's good reference guides out there explaining how to use them safely. And I just make sure that it's a good way to educate yourself on it, on the correct use of them.
And they can, yeah. And the athletes learn, by the way. I mean, they do. These teenagers ask questions. They want to know what you're doing to them, and they want to see how it's effective and things like that. And, you know, the other one's just like, oh, you're just like my mom using all this stuff on me. So it's kind of a little fun, too, just to, they like it. They like to know that you're going out of your way to try whatever it takes to help get them back to where they want to be. And they're willing to do it with you. So when you're kind of working in correlation with them, they're like, heck yeah, let's see what this can do. So it's not really going to hurt them to try it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's one of those things that, you know, kinesio tape, I have some, I can put it on you. Mm-hmm. I'm not certified or something like that and doing it, or using like the manual muscle technique, Graston type things, you know, where I'm pressing and moving, active release type things. Well, I'm not certified. Somebody's taught me how to do it, but it may work for you and it may not. And, you know, let's give it a shot. So in the last few years, especially since doing the podcast, I've really become open to different types of treatment rather than, you know, like honestly, because of other athletic trainers didn't like chiropractors, I didn't like chiropractors. Well, until I actually had some experience with them, then I was like, oh, well, you know, they're not terrible people. They, you know, they're doing what they believe best, and, you know, we can work together being part of a team. So, you know, again, like both of you said, this isn't the end all be all. This isn't the magic cure. This is another tool in the toolbox that we can use as essential oils. So, Craig, you got any final parting thoughts or concerns about essential oils?
I guess one of the safety things I probably didn't mention before too is just, if you're going to use essential oils for massage, nitrile gloves are the best gloves to use. If you're going to give massage with that, latex may get broken down if you try massaging with essential oils. using latex gloves. So I'd recommend using nitrile gloves.
I just use my hands, but
yeah. Yes. I was going to say at home, I'm using my hands.
Because I mean, really, they absorb into you as well. So I don't want to waste them on.
On a glove.
Yeah. On a glove. It's not. Yeah, a glove that doesn't even want it to be touched.
All right, Christy, any other final parting thoughts or concerns?
No, I think you kind of hit it, like you said, since you've been using the podcast, just being open. I think it's easily in our profession, at least from what I've seen recently in the last 7 years or so, like it's easy for us to be in a box of we don't want to be open to all of this new stuff, because that's not what we were taught. That's not how we learned. That's not what modern medicine is. And I get like that sometimes. And I think just being open-minded, seeing what works for your patient in that particular situation, and then running with that. And like I said, I do believe in anecdotal evidence very highly, even if there's a strong placebo to it. Our job is to get them back to their goal and their goal safely. And if this is helping them reach their goal, then, you know, we'll keep on it, and I'll keep pushing my little pieces of intel that I have.
All right, Christy, if someone wants to get a hold of you to find out more, continue the conversation, how are they going to do that?
They can email me, christy.messina@ruckelisd.org. I can send that to you.
We'll go ahead and just repeat it here and spell it out.
Christy, KRISTI.messina, MESSINA, @ RockwallISD, RockwallISD.org. And feel free to email me. I'm also on Twitter. I think handles @ KMessina, KMESSINA15. And so either one of those is probably the best way.
All right. So if you have questions for Christy, you want to continue the conversation, you can reach her there. Craig, how is somebody going to continue that conversation with you?
They can email me @ Craig, CRAIG dot essentially sports med, ESSENTIALLYSPORTSMED @gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter, which is my handles @ eSportsMed, ESPORTSMED. And our website for essential oils is essentiallysportsmedicine.com.
All right. And then we wanted to also make sure that as the distributor, the FDA kind of regulates what can be said as far as like healing and the statements made today were personal opinions. They are not like FDA approved. So don't quote them in some, you know, research article saying that the FDA approved these, right? These statements are real life examples, real life people using these things. Again, not FDA approved stuff, just so we're all perfectly clear. Sportshealth.com/SMB. That's where you can register for the gift card from the podcast as I partner with them. And then as we're getting to the end of the budget years and the heat is about to start picking up, consider using Frio Hydration for your sports medicine or for athletic training water needs. I'm really excited about our new unit, and I'll be posting some pictures and videos and stuff once I finally get it working, since we're not having spring football. But if you do contact Frio Hydration, make sure you tell them that you ever heard about it on the podcast, because after so many units are sold, he's going to give me one of those coolers, one of the ice chests that I can give away to one of you. So if you want to get a free cooler, then just spend a whole lot of money on one of these chiller units. Makes sense, right? Right. All right. And then I definitely want to, again, thank Doc Hill, Matt Babisak, Jason Moore, Tiffany. And I know Melissa was logged in earlier talking about she's a massage therapist, so she uses some of these essential oils as well. And so just kind of learning a little bit more from you guys. So this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/essential oils. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/essential oils, where I'll have the notes posted, the link to the notes, and the ways to contact both Christy and Craig there at sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/essential oils. So for Jeremy, Craig Lewin of Essentially Sports Med, Christy Messina of Rockwall ISD, my sports medicine students, that is a wrap.